Welcome, first-time listeners and returners, to the Sports Deli, where everyone deserves a seat at the table.
Why does Colin not have a job? How is it possible that he's been whiteballed all these years? And you know what? If Tom, Aaron, Troy, Tony, Peyton, or Eli had said this is unacceptable and kneeled with him, then he would still have a job. But none of those cowards kneeled with him. And as a result, Colin's been whiteballed from the NFL since 2016.
A lot of people that have come on this show, I don't know why, they've gotten some good fucking jobs afterwards. Jim Rome in the jungle. It's right here in the Sports Deli, baby. We got some good ass karma right here. Let's fucking go.
I love it.
We hope you enjoy today's show, everyone.
All right, let's rock and roll.
Today's podcast is brought to you by my
TikTok shop. It is unbelievable. I have hundreds of items in there. You would not believe the array of things that I have to offer you, not only for the holidays or birthdays, but just in general. It's literally a game changer. Check it out at TikTok.com/@MikeHootner.
Today's podcast is also sponsored by my Amazon shop. Check it out at Amazon.com/shop/TheSportsDeli. And you can see all the products that I've done videos on, my idea list, and my shoppable photos. I may make a commission on any of the things that you watch or see, but it's at no extra cost to you. Enjoy today's show.
We have to refer to him as Mr. Duncan. Like, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, please, I'm very formal. Secretary Duncan.
There you go. Exactly.
Just put a sir on the end of it. Mr. Duncan, sir.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
Cheryl Miller.
Do I have all of them?
Nice, Cheryl.
Oh, good morning, everyone. What's up, young lady?
You guys know who Wayne Gretzky is, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. He played. Was it hockey?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So in hockey, there's two assists. Mm-hmm. Well, there can be two assists, and I track that in basketball because a lot of times it's the skip pass that leads to the direct dunk in the post. So they should really get the credit for the skip. So I'm the one that threw the skip pass, and Alicia is the one that made that post entry pass, probably the high post, Cheryl, not the low post, at the pinch post, and you know Cheryl knocked down that mid range.
And it was a bounce pass. It was the correct bounce.
That's right.
Pass.
We're so honored to be joined by some of the most incredible pioneers, trailblazers, and basketball evangelicals. DK, you like that? That have ever set foot on the hardwood to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the original W, the WBL. The Women's Basketball League, where on December 9th, 1978, Chicago faced off against Milwaukee, and it was also in this game where the women's basketball was officially, for the first time in the history of the United States, introduced to the world of basketball. And today, you will hear the rest of the story. Let me pass the bounce pass, Cheryl, to Coach Hughes. And Coach, I appreciate you popping out. Glad you're here. Pop in and show your love to these incredible pioneers and trailblazers. Well,
I'm sorry, I'm driving to a
practice. You're good.
Imagine that, you know.
I
just wanted to, you know, just join this group and say thank you. You know, I had 20 some years in women's basketball, and it was, you know, I was in the WNBA with Cheryl and had some incredible experiences. But if not for the people that laid the groundwork ahead of me, I read all about Elizabeth today. You know, I got up this morning and I just wanted to jump on. And I'm sorry, I got to jump into a practice, but I got a Division III practice with a coach I help, a young coach. So I got to get in there and act like a coach for a little bit. But I just want to say thank you. You know, you did all the heavy lifting that allowed the game to progress, you know, to where I saw it and to even greater heights that I'm seeing now.
Amen.
And we've got our problems, but boy, a lot was done right ahead of me. And I just want to say thank you. So there you have it.
Oh, thank you, Coach Hughes. We appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you so much, Coach Hughes.
Well, ambassadors and bridges and vessels come in all shapes and sizes and forms. And Coach Hughes was definitely one of those people. Whether you're in the beginning, like Coach Bruno, or, you know, somewhere in the middle, like Coach Hughes, you know, laying the foundation to pay it forward. Amazing stuff, Coach Hughes. Appreciate it. D3 in the house. That's what I'm talking about. Non-scholarship. That's real, true basketball, pure basketball with no scholarships. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks for popping in, Coach. We really appreciate it.
Well, you have a good one. And again,
you, Dan.
Big thank yous to all of you.
Thank you, Dan.
Cherie, man, let's throw that
that
post entry pass to you, man. It's been a while, but thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad you were able to find a couple of minutes. I don't know if you want to share anything about your feelings about the history of professional women's basketball, your experience, and then sort of where we are now, just not only intercollegiately but professionally, and, you know, your journey to the Portland Trailblazers. Hello,
yes,
somebody.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Man, just to piggyback on that, I'm eternally.
She's in the blender now, ladies and gentlemen. She went from the Matrix to the blender.
Let me see if I could let me try something else. This is crazy. Hold on.
No, you're
good. We hear you now.
Who's on the iPhone 13? Is that Judy?
You need to stay close.
No.
It's Colleen.
Okay, so
Oh, that's Colleen Matsuhara. Let's go, Colleen. That's what I'm talking about. Colleen jumping.
Hey, everyone.
On the call.
I'm sorry I was late when I was driving. Every day I visit my mom, who's 101 years old.
What a blessing.
So I may have to leave early because today's her bingo game, and I always go help her.
Don't you mess up bingo. You can do a lot of things.
You ain't
lying. Hey, Colleen, you know, don't mess up the bingo day.
That's right, Carol. How are you, goat? In case I have to leave early, I did, you know, I definitely put this in my calendar because I did want to hear you both speak. But last year at the Dallas Final Four, when Liz and Trish and all of you gave that wonderful presentation, my biggest complaint was it wasn't long enough to have all of you be there and make your presentation. It brought tears to my eyes just bringing up the memories. And then I got mad because, like, this story should be heard by a lot more people than were able to come by in that small little room. But anyway, I just want to say, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing as much as the presentation I can. You know, I'm sorry bingo has its precedence, but I also help some of the other, I try to help the other residents too, that, you know, either one man is going blind, he sits with us. But to see the journey that you guys set the table for everyone, and I hope everyone sooner or later will figure that out, because our game has reached new heights every year, but it's all because of that concrete foundation all of you laid and made the sacrifices, fought the fight, and are still fighting the fight. But, you know, I'm old, but, you know, I've been around a long time in the game. You know, I coached for 40 years and I saw it evolve. I mean, I knew Cheryl when she was an eighth grade brat. And so.
Still am a brat.
Yeah, you still are. But, and then I used to watch Liz play when she was a star at UNLV. So, you know, I love to see everyone's journey and how our game has, you know, come to where it is, but we still got lots more to grow, everyone. But thank you again, and congratulations on spreading the word.
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Cherie, can you get through now?
Yeah, go ahead, Cherie.
I'm gonna try. I apologize for that. But just what everyone else is saying, like, the thanks is an abundance of thanks from all of us that have played the game. You know, we've eaten your fruits. So we're just eternally grateful for that. You know, like, I didn't even know, I know history, because I've been fortunate enough to be mentored by some of the greats, like a Nancy Lieberman. I follow Cheryl Miller. But to hear your story, it needs to be out there. I'm glad you did this. I'm glad you're finally getting some recognition. Like, our game is growing, but, you know, if you don't, my grandma used to always say, you got to remember where you come from or know where you're going. And I think with a lot of the younger generation of players, they need to know where this came from to continue growing the game and getting it where it needs to be. But, you know, the fight's still going on. We're still getting a lot of firsts in different areas in sports, which is growth. But, you know, at the same time, to just still not be getting first, it's a little disappointing. But we can't be deterred. We got to keep going.
Well, at least we got a good clip before she went back into the major.
We need your voice. We need Colleen's voice. We need Dan's voice. We need everybody. It's a grassroots in a lot of ways. And the stuff that we do with Mary and Women X, reaching those young women and all of our target audiences, from little kids all the way up to the WNBA, the Athletes Unlimited, to you all. Everybody has got to tell the story. Everybody's got to say, hey, did you know there was a women's professional basketball league before the WNBA, not only one, but eight, you know, that attempted. Yeah. And so it's thank you. And we just need you to tell the story, to pass it on. And you talk about first, there are a bunch of new firsts that keep occurring. But before that, we were a generation of firsts, you know, Title IX, somebody had to be the Title IX trailblazers. And that was us. And so just keep passing the word. And Cheryl, I've been wanting to say this to you for a long time. Had you played, you would have, at the WBL, succeeded beyond 1981. I said beyond 1981. It succeeded for 3 years.
Yes.
We were not a league that failed. We always say we were a league that propelled the game forward. But had we not folded in 81, this would have been the league that you played in.
Yes, it would have. Absolutely. You know? There's no question about it. And the more I hear our younger players coming up. And I think of like an ESPN in the 30s. Someone needs to like have a conversation like we're doing right now and put that on film. Mm-hmm. I'm challenging the ESPNs and all the other sports networks and anyone else that has the insight, the foresight to do this, because that's I think is going to be our legacy and our gift to the younger generation, so they know where to go. A lot of players want to know, they just don't know where to go. And we are so many bits and we're scattered everywhere. And there's so much great wealth and meat on these bones. If we could get someone to collectively bring us in all together, and we may not be able to be seated in the same room, but man, if you could get us on that screen and from A to Z and start building on it and going back and adding, that's what we need.
That's what we're trying to do. There's a young woman, Tanisha Benson. Know that name, because I think she is trying to do something like that at the Final Four. We met her at Dallas Final. She found out about us on her own. She wants exactly, and I said that's what we're trying to do. That whole, I don't know if it's an ESPNW format. I don't know what kind of format to get that done, Cheryl, but it's got to be more than one day, more than, as Colleen said, we just didn't have enough time to tell us.
No, it has to be a process to get maybe 1 year of, hey, this is the final. It's going to take some time and resources, but it's doable.
Yeah. You have to establish this timeline once and for all and make it inclusive, you know, make it accurate.
Absolutely.
Because it's omissive and it's inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, and if you go to every era contributed, I hear these girls, we're growing the game. And yes, you are Angel. And yes, you are Caitlin. You're growing the game. But from where? From your 5-year vantage point or your 10-year vantage point? Right. Maybe from the WNBA vantage point. Right. Well, you got to know where you're growing the game from, or you can't truly gauge how far it's coming.
And I agree with that. And I will also, and I get the lack of knowledge from the younger players. I'll give them that grace. But it's some of the older players that should know better when I hear, and it almost knocks the wind out of me when I hear someone say, well, the 1984 Olympic gold medal should have asterisks by it. It was the 1996 Olympic basketball team. That's the real gold medal. I'm like, what the?
Oh, no.
You know, when we start doing that, that's what turns a lot of us off, where I'm like,
minimizing.
They're not ready. And when you have people that should know better saying things like this, and actually not only saying, but believing that. Yeah. Come on, we get enough of that from the men. We don't need that internally. So
or saying I didn't have a room.
You stay inclusive and collectively get on the same page. It's never going to be done properly, in my opinion.
Well, the women have to do it right. We have to challenge each other. We have to do it right. The men do it right.
They do.
They're part of the conversation. They talk about their old guys. They talk about Bill, the greats, and they put them on their throne at the All-Star game, and they put them on display, and they weave them into every conversation about the growth of the game. And
yes, the women they do.
So whose responsibility is it? How do we fix it? It's all of our responsibility. But you first got to know it before you can talk about it.
I agree.
Mary, I know you got to jump off if you want to share any thoughts. Appreciate you being here, as always, you and Tiffany.
Yes, we do.
Well, thank you for having us. I think Tiffany would share my gratitude to Coach Liz and all of Legends of the Ball for sharing their history with us. And we had no idea. And they joined an event and schooled us on the history. And ever since, we've been on a mission to share that history with our students and our community, because if you don't know where you've come from, you don't know how far you can go, as Coach Liz says. And, you know, she inspired a lot of our work. So we thank you for taking time and for showing up and for sharing and educating us. And, you know, this, is something that requires all of us to do. And you've been very gracious the entire way. And thank you so much for all of that inspiration and commitment. Tiffany.
Thank you, Mary.
Coach Liz, I'll just say to you and all of LOB, thank you for being a light in our lives. We look forward to every interaction with you all. And I considered myself a fan of the game for a long time, but I think you all unlocked a new piece to me of the game where I fall in love deeper with it. I'm a huge, huge student of history. And it's sad to say that I didn't have that history before, but now I not only walk with that history and share it, but I think it makes me enjoy the game even more. And so I appreciate you all.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you. And we thank you for that target audience of young women and anybody that's on here. I'm sure if you get an invite from Women X to join some of those discussions with those young women, those are the ones that are going to tell our story too. So it's a mutually beneficial relationship, friendship now. And we thank you for allowing us to, you know, have a voice with them as well. It's just another target audience for us.
Amazing. One of my favorite quotes from one of the students was, "Wow, I had no idea. I have to play the game harder now."
We hear that all the time. Every time we tell a story, no matter who we're telling it to, WNBA players, what? Why come we didn't know that? You know, so everybody's interested in our story. We just have to find the right medium, the right way to get it out there. And we've been working with the, you know, the media that calls the games and trying to educate them so, you know, they can talk about us during games. Well, so-and-so played here and she was All-American, this and that, and she looks like her and da-da-da. You know, you just want, you know, I think that would be a big thing if those, you know, broadcasters would just know about us so they can filter us into the game. You know,
that every Final Four, we need to have a symposium with something like this.
Yep.
Every Final Four.
Yep.
I'd like to jump in and say something if I might. What I'm going to say is that I know you guys, some of you guys are on here, you might not be that familiar with Legends of the Ball, but this is something that Elizabeth McQuitter founded. It was her vision, her idea. Once we were inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in 2018, because there's something that she and I have talked about for many years about how people just don't give us the respect that we really deserve and how something needs to be done about it. Well, she came up with this idea, and because we are LOB, and she can, that's because she always threw the pass, the LOB pass to her dear friend, Deborah Whitey Rosso, who was a major contributor to the WBL. And so she came up with the Lob, Legends of the Ball. And so she founded this nonprofit organization. And I wanted to just give a shout out to her for her vision. And I just didn't know if you guys here, the rest of you guys, of course, a lot of members know, but many of you guys on here probably didn't know. I wanted to make it known that it was her vision and she is the driving force behind our nonprofit organization. We go along with
and her. They were handpicked. Everyone can tell you the story of how they were hand selected to be on this board.
So I just thought that I would go ahead and put that out there like right away before we get a little bit deeper into our conversation for those that really didn't know. So that's where I wanted to just jump in right quick.
I had something I wanted to add with Cheryl. Are you there, Cheryl? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
1984 Olympics. Now you see these players playing five Olympics and, you know, we just all can say, what if, but you know, the opportunity wasn't there. And in 1980, when the pro league was going on, they didn't allow the pros to play then. And so they put together, and then of course the team boycotted, it didn't get to play in the Olympics in 1980. So they put together an all-star team and we got a tour against the 84 Olympic team right before you guys won the gold medal. I think we toured and played 6 or 7 games that summer.
Yeah.
And you know, that was a great experience for me because I would have never gotten that opportunity if I had been, you know, selected for that all-star team, because they just, by the time, you know, I was old enough to make an Olympic team, I had turned pro. Mm-hmm. So
Molly, Molly, what's the team you found Char and Adrian and you, and was it true? What was that select team? They were getting ready to put together that team to tour and Char and Adrian were on it. Don't you remember?
Well, they were trying to just, you know, we were trying to keep pro basketball alive. And we can talk a little bit more about the very first WBL game, but that had such an impact because there was over 8,500 people in that gym. And from that moment I saw that, I knew in my heart that women's pro basketball was going to make it, that it would be a thing someday. Mm-hmm. And when there was, you know, different gaps of time throughout history where there wasn't a league, there were still people working behind the scenes, including myself, trying to make it happen or stay involved. And I was involved in 5 different attempts at women's pro basketball before the WNBA.
Mm-hmm. I think, Liz, what you're talking about is that article that Molly found.
Yeah.
Where it was going to be a select few from the WBL that was going to scrimmage
the Olympic team in 1980. But then they didn't, mm-hmm. you know, of course, the boycott.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a you know, we bringing up Cheryl a lot because she's here probably, but I think a thing that Liz said that that was a WBL was a league Cheryl probably would have played in if we had lasted. So if we had just hung on just 2 or 3 more years and basketball was, you know, so hot and, you know, getting hot in the NCAA, the Olympics. If we could have just held on to bringing all those great players, and maybe we'd have gotten recognition then from the NBA, and then maybe they would have supported us, then we, you know, who knows? You look forward, maybe the
WBL would have been the WBL.
WNBA, you know.
Just... And Molly, and we know that Larry O'Brien, the commissioner at the time, was in talks with Bill Byrne, the founder of the WBL. So
it was interesting. Yeah, the second year of the WBL, there was a lot of connection with the NBA. We had 3 NBA coaches coaching in the WBL. We had the head of the referees had been the head in the NBA. And then, of course, you know, the photo that we have at the draft of Larry talking to Bill Byrne, our commissioner, about who knows what. But I'm sure that, you know, at that point, that was the early days of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson coming into the and revitalizing the NBA. So it was still a bit probably premature to include the women. But it's, you know, very interesting to see those links that go way back like that.
Elizabeth, did you and the Legends of the Ball and everyone that played that first year anticipate, you know, when you look back, hindsight's 2020, but did you think that
we were going to be where we are now, or are we not as far along as you thought you think we should be?
I can honestly say I didn't look that far ahead, to be honest with you, at that time. I did later, as I got into coaching. But you got to understand, you're coming from high school and Title IX comes along, don't have a clue what it is. Then you go to college and all of a sudden you're able to get a scholarship to play basketball when you thought those days were behind you. Now you go through your collegiate days and now you get an opportunity to play professional basketball when you thought those college days were behind you. So you're going into it with an innocence, but at the same time, the love of the game. And once after that first year, the first game, the first year, it didn't take long for it to register with us. This is bigger than my love for the game. This is bigger than me. Oh, I'm having fun. Oh, I'm glad I get to play. It's a responsibility now. And we have got to make this work. You know, we took ownership of that. And so we looked down the road. I don't know I know I didn't. I don't think many of us looked 45 years in it ahead, you know, but or even 25 years ahead. But we'd looked down the road and said, we have got to make this work. We've got to make it stick. And bear in mind, after that first year, we thought there was no doubt in our minds that it was going to work, that it was going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And so because I think now where the game is now has come more from all of I can speak for myself, but I think I can speak for everybody, from our coaching years or years of just staying around the game and watching it grow. And that's another thing. The women of the WBL, we have this 1,000+, it's more like 1,500+ years of coaching. We have coached collegiate players in high school and WNBA and ABL players. We have coached them. So we have had our handprints all over the game. We have never left the game. We have continued to influence the game. You mentioned Peggy not being here. Peggy, of course, coached with the Comets. Trish coached in the ABL. We coached, and then we saw where the game was going. So where it is now, I did not anticipate, as Judy was saying, I did not anticipate the NIL and all that stuff. But I definitely could see the growth, because you see the kids doing more, younger, because of opportunity, because of acceptance, because of social acceptance, which we also made more than historic relevance. We have a social relevance that needs to be proclaimed just as much as the historic basketball side of things, because now it's acceptable. And you see, and this was the 70s with the Battle of the Sexes and all that stuff. If you hear Billie Jean and beating Bobby Riggs was at the forefront, but there were all these contests between women, and then women's professional basketball. It's like in that first game, two things were on display: women's professional basketball, and we have to talk about the ball, because we introduced, it's not just the anniversary of that first game, it's the anniversary of the introduction of that 28.5 size 6 ball. So it's 45 years. That is a history that everybody needs to know. And I want all of you to go tell it. That ball didn't just pop on the scene. Or nobody, does anybody stop to think, where did this ball come from? Because we played with the 29.5.
I had no
in high
idea.
School and college. And then after the league folded in 81, in 1984, that ball was adopted. The current ball was adopted by the NCAA. So that's the origin of that ball. Karen Logan, who played, I mentioned the Battle of the Sexes, defeated Jerry West in a game of horse. That was her claim to fame as one of the members of the famous Redheads. And it was her vision with this smaller ball. The ball handling would improve. The passing would be better. The game would be faster. And what shooting. You see, shooting range. If you couldn't shoot with the other ball, you could miraculously shoot with this one, but it changed the range. So before Caitlin Clark was shooting it from that distance, so was Cheryl Swoops. So were other players, you know, Taurasi. Yeah, Caitlin's the latest, but that ball, the range is just getting crazy right now. Is that not what we see? Her vision is exactly what we see in today's game.
I have a question as the way it relates to the ball. And I never thought of that. Like, it had to start somewhere. So when that, I think about now when they say lower the rim for women's basketball, like, how did you guys first take that when they said you need a smaller ball? Was it like, oh, you know, was it a big deal as far as like being seen as less than? Because I know when they say lower the rim for women's basketball, I'm not a proponent of it. And
I'm not either.
Not, so
neither am I.
No. Here's the thing.
Was it the same thing when the ball was brought up to be made it was, smaller?
It was called a gimmicky ball.
Right.
But the thing is, you had the best coaches at the time. Pat Summitt was against it. My coach, historian Fran Garman, was against it. A lot of the top coaches were against that ball because they thought it would the women would lose respect for that reason. Oh, they're not real. You know, they have to play with this smaller ball. Karen Logan's argument was also, you alter equipment for golf. You lower the net for volleyball. The women have a smaller bowling ball, a smaller tennis racket. So doesn't it make sense that you would just alter the equipment based on the physicality of a woman's anatomy? You would do the same for the ball. You don't say women can't play tennis or golf or bowl or any of the other sports. So that was a great argument. So doesn't it make sense to make the ball smaller? Now, all these other coaches were against it. We, on the other hand, just went with the flow. Yep. Small ball, okay. And I can, there's a video clip, and we're going to have to pull that one day, of Charlene getting a rebound. And I have large hands. Some of us have large hands, but still it's not a man's size hand. Well, some of us maybe. But anyway, I can see Char getting that ball, throwing it long to Rita, and Rita taking a couple of dribbles and shooting it. That changed the game, to be able to handle that ball. So there was a slight learning curve. We were shooting bricks and air balls just for a minute, though. And then we just settled in with it. You know, we just adjusted to it. And, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. But on display was women's professional basketball, December 9th, 1978, and the small gimmicky ball were on display. And they both delivered. The game was fast. It was fun. It was exciting. And
wish we had some footage to just show them, with a share of the screen, just to show some brief footage. I wish we had done that to just to pop that in and let them see some the and then the fans, but that's a whole nother issue though. But just so you can see, I mean, we were scoring 100+ points almost every game.
Right. I would have to say the smaller ball definitely worked for me. My jump shot, long distance range, just the control of it just made such a big difference, size of the hands.
You know what bothers me just listening to it? It really, because we never heard the counter or the positives of making the change to the smaller ball. Right. There was never the comparison, well, the golfers, the tennis players.
Yep.
We never heard that argument side. Otherwise, there would have been a greater acceptance. When you can't accept what you don't know. Had we known, you know what, that does make sense. Okay,
Karen Logan's argument.
Heard was, oh, here we go. Here's the gimmick.
The gimmicky
can't
ball.
Do this. And then right behind that, let's lower the rim for the girls because they can't play on the regular. That's what we heard. We didn't hear the logical side of making those adjustments.
It is logic.
That's it. That's it. No gimmick. Logic. That makes sense.
Every sport alters their equipment for women, but it doesn't change Serena's ability to play tennis and knock the ball across. You know,
a backhand is a backhand.
Yeah.
Put a pencil out there. It's still coming at you at 100.
Yeah. Or a golf swing.
Or a basketball. It doesn't matter. You're absolutely right. Because at the end of the day, you still have to perform.
Skill.
And then when I would go out and play pickup in college and go out and play pickup with the guys, of course, they always knew they could get a game, get me to pop in and play a game when they needed an extra player. They always played with the men's ball, of course. But hey, we made the adjustments when we had to make the adjustments, you know, that they wanted to do it that way. That's what we did. We just played with that ball. But even in pickup, you know, like even during the summer when you would go out and at the rec center and play pickup in the parks, what have you, then the guys always wanted to play with the guys ball, with a twin basketball ball. So, which was fine. We played with it because we always wanted to play. But when we needed to play competitively, we played with the ball.
Mm-hmm. We need you to tell the history. We need these stories to get out. And we're working on it, Cheryl. We're we're in production trying to work on a documentary. We've had a couple of failed attempts with people, but it's got to be told. And all these stories have got to be told, and it's got to be blasted, and people have to want to know. And we always say, you don't know what you don't know. We say that especially to the young people. But at some point, whose responsibility is it? Why don't you think that if Title IX trailblazers open doors, wonder who those trailblazers were and what they, it's just a logical train of thought, or it should be. And, you know, I call it this serendipitous effect. It just happened. The ball just happened. It just happened. Nothing just happens. People sacrifice. People become the first. People open doors, keep them open so others can walk through. We hear all the time, oh, I didn't have any role models. Andy always loves to say, just because they weren't in basketball, it doesn't mean Wilma Rudolph wasn't a role model, or you didn't have a female role model.
Absolutely.
You had female role models. And even now, we know statistically, young girls watch the NBA and can name an NBA player over a WNBA player.
True.
You know, so we've got to change that. But yet, where do you want to go play? You want to go play in the WNBA.
Right.
So it's there's so much work to be done. It's conditioning. But we've got to let them know, not only do you have role models now, you've always had them. We've always been there.
And share just to, you know, in the rest of you guys. So sometimes now when people have questions and want to know something about the history, guess where they're sending people to? Legends of the Ball. So they contact Elizabeth McQuitter in Legends of the Ball, you know, and they can help you out with that. And so we're becoming a resource, thank goodness.
Well, there has been a lot of advancements. And I don't know if you want to talk about the If Not For Them docuseries. I invited Brenda. She's busy today. And I didn't know this until Sylvia Crawley told me about the WBL upcoming.
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to talk about the new WBL.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled across Elizabeth by, well, not accident, originally, and then you know, now y'all know the rest of us.
On LinkedIn, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've been in touch with Robert Reed, who's the founder of the new WBL. The only concern we had, we love seeing the another opportunity for women to play professionally, just like Athletes Unlimited. Love them, loved working with them. We hope to be doing some more things with them next summer. The only issue I told Robert was we just don't, because we're trying to uncover the original WBL, we've got to establish that. And then we're supporting him and supporting this, the new WBL. But there's a small margin of where there could be confusion.
Right.
So while we support the new WBL, we have got to get people to learn about the WBL, which was the first women's professional basketball league. And then the new WBL is just an opportunity for young women to have more options, because the WNBA can't, we know that, they can't facilitate opportunities for all of the talent that's out there. So that's great that they have another league for them to play in. So yeah, we talked to him. We met him in Chicago. He came out to the Chi League when we were out there, and we really had some talks. I'm in communication with him, and I just don't want there to be any confusion, but totally support them.
I mean, so what months would that be? Because we know when the WNBA season is, we know Athletes Unlimited is 5 weeks, well, for basketball.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
When would the WBL be? While players are overseas, you know, like Taylor right now and Crystal Bradford, you know, and then they have to make a choice. What months are we talking about?
You also have, remember Stewie and Nafisa Collier are also trying to start their league. So right. I think there's some juggling to do there. You know, you talk about bandwidth just for coverage, for media coverage. You know, we fight for enough bandwidth right now, and we feel there's enough bandwidth for history always, but for all these teams and competing. So I think you have to be very careful and make sure it comes in a positive manner, so one is not impacting the other. I can't recall right now when his season, he did tell me, but I can't recall when his season is going to run. I want to say end of WNBA, I mean, before the WNBA starts, I want to say, but don't quote me on that. We'll just have to find out.
And what's the timetable for the If Not For Them? I see updates from Brenda, but do we know?
No, I know. She's gaining steam. You know, we support her. She included us in that because we had a real spot in there. She's gaining more financial support. She's interviewed everybody in America that has anything to do with the growth of this game, you know, that's living. So, you know, we support her totally. Like I said, we really collaborate with her and we like to shout out to what she's doing, because as much as we talk about our history, we know the history that came before us. Right. So she goes back even farther, you know, than us. She's interviewing our coaches.
Right.
You know, Adrian played for Marion Washington. I played for Fran Garman. DK played for Coach Gunner, even though Coach Gunner is deceased. Trish played for Pat Summitt. Peggy played for Lynn Dunn and Van Chancellor. Annie played for Billy Moore. I mean, that's the other thing about this WBL group. We, in college, we helped jumpstart the careers of some of the greatest coaches in the game, not just on our board, but throughout our body. We were the ones playing for those coaches. So if you're acknowledging those coaches, did you ever stop to wonder who their players were? That we're creating the success for them. So, you know, there's just so many moments where you just have to wonder, why isn't there any thought process? And it shouldn't be such an anomaly that we are. There was a group of trailblazers then. It shouldn't be.
Well, because the false narratives have been debunked. Even more recently with regards to women and women's sports intercollegially or professionally, the numbers speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And one of those players currently in the WNBA is Taylor. I'm putting you on the spot here, Taylor, but Elizabeth, I know it's really important to you to not only in terms of the history of the game, but to collaborate and make sure some of the old players and the new players get to know each other so that you can, like you said, and as Tiffany said, it's more than just being a fan. Now Yes. You have a different feeling about, you know, the entire umbrella and what's under there. Mm-hmm. And so Taylor, you know, Taylor's upbringing, she's going to come on the show. We're trying to work it out. But she has a really unique upbringing with her and her sister, having been adopted by white parents. And
I know her story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that perspective just... I think you just have a heightened level of sensitivity towards the world around you, and you see the world through a different lens, just like all of you have seen things through a different lens because of the obstacles and lightning bolts and speed bumps, among other things, that you had to face, you know, to get to where we are. So Taylor, I don't know if you have any thoughts about, you know, these amazing women and where you're at. And I know you're also, it's really important to you, the history of the league and just, you know, where you were starting at BC. And, you know, and so one of those things, Elizabeth, where I came across her because of Natty White,
mm-hmm.
you know, and 6 degrees of separation kind of thing. And yeah. So, you know, Taylor, when I threw that name, I wasn't just trying to name drop, but, you know, and then she, there's a level of trust there because, you know, they know each other. And then she mm-hmm. went to Virginia Tech and was part of the Final Four last year. So go ahead, mm-hmm. Taylor. Appreciate you being here and making time. It's late there.
Yes, thank you for being
here. It's only 8 o'clock. I'm still young and
okay, sweet.
It's all good. I first just want to thank you, Mike, for having me on here. Every time Mike has me on a Zoom, I literally, my notebook gets full of so many things I get to go back and share with people, and to listen to you, Elizabeth, and the passion in your voice, and you, Cheryl Miller, and women that I know about but don't know enough about is crazy. I literally have things I'm about to go back to my like basketball group chat to tell them all the history of the league. And I think first, I think people have to be honest with themselves. I mean, growing up, I wanted to play professional basketball, but you don't know what you watch the WNBA. But I mean, myself, and I think prior to going to the league, I probably couldn't have named more than 10 people on a team. And I think that's kind of sad. And what somebody in the Zoom said, it's like, whose job is it to fix that? And it's us. It's like the men have figured it out. They've done their thing. And so now, yeah, okay, we might need help from other people, but there's enough empowering women and people like Mike, thank you, that want to change the game and want to tell the correct history, but it needs to be told. And so to have women like you that grew the game literally from starting with a men's basketball and had to boycott and do all these things, like, I'm trying to change the game, but it's only because of the small things that you have continued to do for your entire life. And so I think Tiffany had said it earlier. She's like, you love the game of basketball, but then you learn the history of it and where it came from, and you can only love it more. I mean, for a league to 8 attempts to have a professional league, to me, is insane. And you see where the WNBA is now, and obviously we want it to be so much further, but I mean, 8 attempts, it's crazy that we kept going. And so I think more women need to keep speaking up and tell the stories, and people need to continue to listen. And so for me to just be a part of it and hopefully get more people on board, it's an honor, honestly.
I got chills and on the verge of tears.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, when someone's like looking at their notes. Oh, looking at her notes.
I saw her taking notes.
I saw you taking notes as well, and I was like, wow.
I do. You gave me chills, and you just really touched my heart. And you are exactly who we are trying to reach. You're one of our main target audiences. We have little kids who feel the same way. You can't tell us that kids and young people don't care about history. They just don't know that or what they don't know. But once you tell them, and we see it over and over and over, we want to become a reference, we want to become a guide, and we want to become your touchstone. If you think about those three words, isn't that what you get from your own family history? Grandma, the references you use for them, they guide you with their wisdom and what has been passed down through your family, and they are your heart's touchstone. It's no different. No. I look at that same way I look at my family and still talk about my family and my mom and grandma. It's the same way we want to be for you. Just like we know those who came before us who were our guide, our reference, and our touchstones. Why is it so hard? Where did we lose it? So that nobody, so that we don't stop and think, what about history? Who were those women?
I don't know. If I have any say about it, I'll make sure to speak up. When the room goes quiet and they say they're changing the game, I'll say, well, who'd y'all learn it from?
There you go. And you're going to change it, and somebody's going to listen to you. And so this is the grassroots part of it that we talk about all the time. Every audience we can reach, we don't know who's going to become our champion. And I think we just found one.
Yep, another one.
Well, thank you. That means a lot, truly.
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to see, is DK still on?
She texted you, she had to leave.
I was wanting her to give her thoughts.
Peggy is on.
Peggy.
Yellen.
Hey, what? Hoot.
There she is.
You got your wish.
Yeah, no, I saw that, but I wasn't sure if that was actually her because it said aunt. So I don't know if that's
perfect. Peggy Gillum. She's somewhere at some event.
Got you.
She did.
You
come
got
on.
Your wish, Hoot.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. See there, I put it out in the universe. And then Annie messaged, said she's prepping for surgery, so she won't be able to make
it. Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, she is going in. Yeah.
Peggy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Peggy.
Glad to meet you. I'm kind of in between. Things, so I just kind of jumped on and listened, and it's great hearing, especially Taylor. Oh my gosh, and Liz still has that passion in her voice about she's our leader and spokesperson, and she's still pushing it for us. And Taylor, I'm just so excited that you're on, and hate I miss Cheryl, but maybe next time.
Yeah, and we'll have to get back on, Hoot, so you can. And Taylor, you know, Peggy coached with the Comets. I don't know if you knew that or not. The first champions of the WNBA.
Four times. That's crazy.
And also at Texas A&M, of course, head coach, Ole Miss before that. But Houston Angels won the first championship in the WBL and Houston Comets in the WNBA. So they have that little bit of trivia. Mm-hmm. And our board is just filled with, amazing women who have these deep resumes. You know, Adrian Sharmali, Peggy, Trish, DK, and Rita. Just these deep, deep resumes that I'm not going to go. I usually do my little spiel and run down the list of everybody's account, but just go to the website. But they, I mentioned the coaches, the people who are our coaches. Shar's our HBCU representative. Edith Daniels, one of the great HBCU coaches. And then all the other coaches I mentioned, Peggy's coaches and Adrian and mine and so forth. So just a very an impressive board. And I also wanted to mention that Rita Easterling of the WBL was just recently inducted as part of the class of 2024, which just lends itself to more credibility for us and the impact we had on the game as a group. She represents us and our era, as well as her own accomplishments and accolades.
Man, that's amazing. I was waiting for John to see if he was going to come on. He said he had a meeting until 2-3 Pacific, and he might be able to jump on. So I told him we're still on.
I would love it if he could, yeah, because we definitely want to head back up to Dallas this summer to collaborate with him. And that those women, most of them were in the WNBA, and I got to meet Crystal there, first met her on here. And
yes, we invited her, but she's meeting with her agent right now, so she wasn't able to jump on.
We'll have to do it again, and we'll have to have a WNBA / young WBL group so we can kind of talk to them and find some more Taylors. Taylor's still taking notes. I love it. But yeah, Peggy, who had just said he's still waiting for Peggy Gillum to come on. And so there you
let's go. I'm talking about Peggy.
And I'm looking forward to participating more after this one. So I'm sorry. I just kind of got a lot, but I had to jump on.
It's always great conversation. You never know who's going to be on with who. You never know who the surprise guest is going to be.
That's the absolute truth.
And he surprised us today, and it was great. I mean, Colleen Matsuhara, Mary and Tiffany are just big supporters. With that, that was a surprise too. And Cheryl, I mean, Alicia, everybody. It was just a great surprise.
Thank you
so much. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. And I we're trying to get the word out about obviously the history and stuff like that. But, Alicia, just so you guys know, it's not getting any better. And she didn't have transportation to a game last week. They denied her. And then the players protested. And, you could speak to any one of the situations that we talked about today as to why women feel empowered to take it upon themselves when they feel like there's an injustice and to protest. And so the players protested and they got transportation for the next day. I mean, the stuff that
they shouldn't have to
through,
do that though. They shouldn't have to protest for what should be just the norm.
Right. So anyway, she's obviously embroiled in that lawsuit still, and depositions are starting, but she continues to be mistreated. So the more that we can shed light on that, and her and Cheryl will be back on shortly to discuss what's been going on there as well. Carol Stiff's involved, president of the Women's Sports Network. I invited her today. She's busy. So, it's really, you think maybe it's a completely separate issue, but really all this stuff is kind of related. And I always think back about the NCAA tournament when the next day you had equipment at the Final Four when somebody plastered it all over social media. So there is the power of social media. Cheryl did post about this. And Cheryl's starting to get a little bit more burn on social media just because of her involvement with various projects. So, if you see anything out there about Alicia's story, please show your support in any way that you can, because she and I have shared a lot of tears in the last year, because I can't even comprehend what she's had to navigate by the good old white boy network over there in Riverside, California. It's pretty horrendous. Like you can't even, if you read the lawsuit alone, which is on my website at thesportsdailypodcast.com, that doesn't even begin to tell the story over the last couple of months. So thanks to you, we have precedents, not only in the courts, but just on the day-to-day for people to continue to fight. And Alicia continues to fight. Cheryl's one of her biggest supporters, obviously, yeah, as it's as this show. Yeah.
And Annie and all, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, there, I don't know if you're aware, there's something on Title IX going on today, and I just caught a glimpse of it before I got on, like stating don't give up or something. We may have to look that up when we all get off, yeah. But it's something going on today with Title IX.
Should ask Judy.
Yeah, but that's, man, Judy left too. I wanted to hear, I'm sorry if I dominated the conversation. I just trying to get, I'd like for everybody to, you know, I just wanted her to get an opportunity to say, but she's always supported.
Yeah, if you haven't heard previous discussions about Judy Swee, the first president in the history of the NCAA and first mm-hmm. female president at the University of California, San Diego, when they were D3, then they went to D2, and now they're coached by Tara Vanderveer's sister, Heidi, and they're mm-hmm. D1 now in their third year of provisional status. Judy always had talked about, and I applied for a job there, and we always joke that if she had hired me, we wouldn't be having this show because my path would have gone in a different direction completely. But thank God she didn't hire me at UCSD back then, because we wouldn't have all gotten together for all these podcasts. But in all seriousness, she talks about how difficult it was, and I'm sure you all can attest to this. And I don't know if Taylor, you had to, you know, navigate the spaces that you had to growing up, you know, with white parents in some ways, or even if you didn't have white parents, it's just being a woman of color. There's still nonsense that you have to navigate. But, you know, she would get nasty letters, you know, from men back then. This was in the 90s, you know, so we're not that far removed from it. You know, when she was fighting for all of these things, and obviously we all know on this show how strong Judy is just in general. But, yeah, I mean, the things that she had to navigate and so many other women like y'all had to navigate. I know we've shared on the podcast before about, you know, going to opponents' arenas. And what it was like to go into opponents' arenas, you know, in college in particular. Obviously, there's, you know, a lot of rivalries that still go on today, and it's not probably as prevalent. But, yeah, I can't even imagine some of the things that you all, you know, had to navigate. So if anyone wants to touch on that, yeah. Yeah, but Judy was definitely, you know, one of a kind for sure.
Yes, for sure. A trailblazer in her own right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Any other parting words? John has not responded. I'm gonna just tell him 5 more minutes. Let me just text that to him. Any more parting thoughts about anything upcoming? Anything that you want us to do? Obviously, the season's going on right now, so we're all excited about that. Watching college basketball.
Well, we've got to get this message to that final to the broadcasters. I mean, we've got I will tell you, on this anniversary, the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame will be making a post. Wilson will be making a post, and we're hoping the WNBA will be making a post to just help us celebrate this 45th anniversary of not only the first women's professional basketball league in the United States, the WBL, but the introduction of the 28.5 size 6 basketball that whose Karen Logan's idea and produced by Wilson and adopted by Bill Byrne in the WBL and went on to revolutionize the game. So it's a day everybody should know for those reasons, not just the introduction of the league, but this ball that has a history of its own.
Man, I had no idea. That is amazing. What a great story.
We're coming up on the 5th anniversary of Legends of the Ball too.
I love that. Five?
5 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I've known you for 3 of them.
Yep.
Yeah, that's amazing.
January 1st is when we had our first podcast in 2020, maybe.
It was after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Probably 21.
21. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was in Atlanta at Lynn's office. I remember that. Yeah.
Taylor, how are things going over there? Are you good? How's the team doing? What are you working on for your second season in the W with the Chicago Sky? Like, what's going on with you?
Yeah, things are going well. I think I'm learning quickly, you know, just more on how to take care of your body, how to advocate for myself, how to eat right, what I want to work on basketball wise. I definitely got lucky with like my team, my coaches. Like I tell them all the time, I'm like, dang, like on hard days, if I didn't like y'all, this would be not as enjoyable, but I'm definitely surrounded by people that genuinely care about me. So that definitely helps. And if I'm lucky enough, you know, and I work hard to make a training camp this upcoming season, you know, just
with the sky
to be yeah, said, hopefully with the sky.
You know, Teresa Wendell, one of our board members, coached Teresa Weatherspoon in high school.
See, I'm telling you,
I'm telling you, there's a connection. It's just, it never ceases. Yeah, Aretha was her high school coach. And we have a very good relationship with the Sky and Michael Alter. Okay. They introduced us at a game last year. What was it, 2 years ago? Was it two years?
2 years.
2 years ago, they introduced us.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. In Chicago, they have some good things going on.
Our social media, we just posted at the top of our Instagram page where they introduced us at me, Sharmali, and Ethel White, who lives in Chicago. But yeah, I mean, Chicago, that's what I mean by the stuff. Connections. The connections are, our generation is just, the handprints are still there. I mean,
yeah. And so I'm excited. The new coach that they got there, the energy that Chicago has, we have Dwayne Wade trying to make some movements, and even some of the other like people they have as investors. So I'm excited to see what happens. You know, working on my 3-point shot over here, so gonna be pretty good. But defense is my thing. So sticking to that.
Good deal.
Are you talking to the band?
We hope you have a wonderful over there, and we're keeping up with you when you get back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all y'all.
I'll be in Chicago on the 18th through the 27th, so I hope you guys have a game I can come see.
Fingers crossed. We got to get the fans. We got to get the fans extra loud this year.
Yeah. You guys have had a good batch of fans for sure.
It's a good city. Good city. Nice arena. So we'll see how it goes.
We can attest to that.
Yeah. And, you know, while we're just killing time, and I know everybody probably has to get going here soon, Molly Boland was known as Machine Gun Molly Boland for her scoring prowess. She still holds a record for points in a women's professional basketball game. But until you acknowledge the WBL, you won't acknowledge those records. Adrian and Char, both all-pro, all-stars, all three of them all-pro and all-stars in the league. And
give them their flowers. I love that.
Right.
Yep. Did Peggy leave?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she said she had to go.
Just so you know, Liz was called the bandit because of all her defensive.
What you laughing at, Hoot?
I love that. I've never heard a nickname of the bandit before. Love
she's
that.
She's the bandit. She's still that ball in a minute.
and she has a special technique, Taylor. Maybe one day she'll have to share it with you.
There's an art to stealing the ball. I've been meaning to write a book called The Art of the Steal. I better be quiet.
I'll read it.
Somebody might steal that.
Yeah.
You got to get it when the ball's on the way up off the bounce.
Oh, there's so many. There's so many ways to steal the ball.
There's a lot.
In transition, off the ball, in the passing lane. Yep. You know, there's so many ways to steal the ball. Out of triple threat, off the dribble.
Watching the eyes, making them think you're not looking and you are.
So many ways.
See, y'all write that book. I'll write the book on how the art to take a charge. Unless someone else already has that one down, that's
I took charge. I didn't like taking charges though, but I took my share.
Taylor, you'll appreciate this.
Liz and I had some mean battles in our day.
Yeah,
we were rivals.
Yeah, Chicago and Iowa. There was no love lost there, but.
So I had a player in junior college end up going to UMBC. You know, they're D1, right? And she took 27 charges for me in JUCO.
Oh my goodness!
In a season.
Wow.
Now, first of all, just to put yourself in a position to get the call 27 times in a season, it's basically once a game, right? But to successfully have 27 called in your favor, I've never seen anything like it.
That's crazy.
Her older sister played for me also, and she went to Presbyterian. But I've never seen anything like it before in my life. I was like, I don't even teach it anymore because It's just where I coach.
Right now. I'm 5'11", but I'm athletic, and so I don't always like to guard a post player, but I like to get in there, and I think they can post me up, and then just the refs always see me because I'm a little small, and then get every time at least twice a game.
don't be putting your secret out there, Taylor.
What's said on the Zoom stays in the Zoom.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, way to do what you have to do to get the ball back for your team.
Exactly.
All right. Any final words of wisdom? Amazing sharing space with you all as always. We had such
likewise,
an
amazing who, likewise.
Group. Yeah. Congratulations on the 45th anniversary of the WBL. And we certainly.
And the ball.
And the ball. Right. And we would certainly not be where we are today without the original W. So flowers, like Taylor said, to all of you. And we will definitely reconvene. Going forward.
Let's do this again. Get some of these youngsters like Taylor and just that are going to be our ambassadors for us, because I mean we need somebody to tell our story, to pass it on. We're passing it on, paying it forward is our mantra. We've got to have them to pass it on and pay it forward for us.
Well, if the new WBL takes off, I think that will help, because it'll be right there in front of everybody instead of a little bit in the rearview mirror kind of thing.
Well, I hope it will help. I hope it won't be confusing. Like I said, that was my only concern, and it's total support for them. But until we come out of the shadows, and he's very good about promoting our history. That's one thing I love about what Robert is doing. Sylvia Crawley, we talked to her at the All-Star game, and she is the one that told us about him. And then we reached out and we connected. We have a very good relationship. And so, but he does pay homage to us, so that's right. That's what we're really happy about. That just don't want there to be any confusion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, keep being amazing, ladies. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you, Hoot.
Thank you,
like
Taylor,
you know,
thank
Taylor.
You.
Taylor.
We'll be like looking you for you, pulling for you, Taylor.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
All right.
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much,
all right.
Michael.
Bye. All right. Appreciate y'all. All right.
Bye-bye.
Much love,
bye-bye.
Everybody.
Bye.
Well, I definitely have the best background, I have to say.
I can't figure out how to get out of my phone.
Machine Gun Molly, the caboose on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Every train's got a caboose. So until next time, we can't thank a man. From Coach Hughes to everybody that was here today, I can't even name everybody. There's so many people. But just honored to be, as Keith Lee always says, a vessel and a bridge to try and listen, learn, and mobilize any way that I can to help the game be in better hands going forward. And where we are in 5 years from now on the 50th anniversary of the WBL, I think the women's game is in great hands, both at the intercollegiate level and at the professional levels, thanks to people like John Patrickoff, co-founder and CEO of Athletes Unlimited, and Kathy with the WNBA, and the NCAA has made a lot of strides also in the last few years. And the players, it's all about the players. The players, the evolution of the players is and has been unbelievable. And that's why I truly enjoy doing anything I can from the skill perspective to help that part of the game, because that's my area of expertise as a professional basketball skills trainer, because I think the more that the women's game evolves in terms of the skill set, that's going to continue to bring more excitement and more fan base to the sport. All right, until next time, much love. Happy holidays to everybody. Happy New Year, and be safe out there. And thanks again for joining us, whether you watched or listened. That means a great deal to all of us. Peace. For those of you that can't get enough of today's podcast, here are today's outtakes. Thanks so much again for joining us today, everyone.
Hey, Hoot.
Hey, what's happening, ladies?
It's
Molly?
Good to see you.
Hey there.
Hey, y'all been
trying to find a way to
like that shirt.
Come on.
Oh, you know I had to represent today.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to go to a place lighter. Whoops.
The
boy, hey, Zoom Adrian. Has changed us all, hasn't it?
Too dark.
Hey, Adrian.
Let me find another spot.
I know we all have to. That light hits just. That's.
I have this shelving unit, the wardrobe shelving unit, in my TikTok shop. If you guys are interested, you can go to my profile and click the link below and purchase it, and it can come to you before Christmas, ladies and gentlemen.
What is it?
Well, it's supposed to be a wardrobe shelving unit to, you know, put clothes on, but I use it as my background. Have you guys seen this new background since we've met?
No, it's been a while since we've been on. Who?
Yeah, I know.
I've popped in a couple of times on things. How's stuff going with Alicia?
She should be on today. It's not going well. It's been a disaster, but we're supporting her and doing what we got to do.
I saw Howard Megdahl made a post about her. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, Cheryl posted about that. They didn't get transportation for one of their games, if you can believe it. They denied them transportation to a game.
I don't understand why nothing is being done. I just don't.
Oh, as we speak.
Yes, right on cue, Coach Berber.
I'm trying to find a... I'm going to step out of my office for a while, find a spot outside here.
Yeah, you're good. No hurry at all, unless you guys are under time constraints. How's Peggy doing?
Peggy Gillum?
Yeah.
She's doing fine. Mm.
Running.
Mm-hmm. I think she's the one person that's never come on. Hey, Judy.
Yeah, hi, Judy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Alicia.
Look at y'all with y'all little blurred backgrounds, y'all trying to show your artistic skills here. That's
no, William talking. Hooked my son hooked this up for me, and I don't even know how to get it off. So
I'm hiding my messy house. That's the truth.
Yeah. Coach Berber in the house. That's what I'm talking about.
Hello.
Hey, how's Sean. It going, everyone?
Hi, everyone.
Oh, DK. Doing? Let's go. Got to have DK.
I was trying
yeah,
to come
I told Peggy that she's the only I mean I don't know what's you know she's still at Ole Miss working so I don't know
yeah
so you might end up seeing me on two devices so I'm gonna when
yeah,
the other one comes when the other one comes up I'm gonna disconnect on this one.
Well, either all one, right. You look amazing. So I love it was, she is not playing with those glasses today, y'all.
The other one was really slow. And so I said,
sign up over there, but you're welcome to sit over there. I've got to do a Zoom for about an hour.
DK look, is that DK on? With two?
Oh, I'm trying to get off of one of them, too. I'm trying.
Judy, what's wrong with you? You should have done two. I should have done two. Alls. I knew this was going to be a thing. We could have all done two. That would have been double the fun.
Okay, I'm getting ready to log off of this one and pick up on the other, leaving this one.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, DK.
All right.
DK in the house.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just hang tight. We're trying to.
Are you recording?
Yes, ma'am. You know we got to have the outtakes.
I thought it said that I was recording because I record our meetings, and so I thought it said I was recording. I'm like, wait a minute now. I didn't tell it to record.
Just waiting for a couple possible people to pop on here. So let's just.
Oh man, I should have invited Aunt. I forgot to. So Annie.
Yo, DK.
Hey, I'll give you
a recording. I told Annie. I sent it to Annie.
Oh, good, good.
Hey, Hoot, I'll give you a recording. I'm at home right now washing practice gear.
Oh, my God.
Y'all don't even want to.
No, today's going to be a great podcast celebrating. Right. Celebrating.
Well, we'll have to come back to that.
We will.
We're celebrating today.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give Alicia a shot in the arm today. I'm trying to text somebody. Hold on a second. I tried to invite Coach Bruno, but he's playing right now.
I was going to say, he has a game.
As we speak.
Yep, he has a game.
Mm-hmm. Hey, in the afternoon.
It was in the morning. I think it was at 11.
Yeah, it's probably close to the second end of the second half right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they playing?
Green Bay, I think.
Oh, Green Bay. That's an arch rival.
Yes.
Us two at Northern, for us two, for right. DePaul and Northern.
That's right. Remember those battles.
Look at DK. Okay. DK ain't playing for the holidays. She getting ready.
Looking young.
Hey, Molly. Hey, Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, I'm trying to.
Hi, Mary.
I had the wrong link.
He pulled a surprise on us, but he always
hey,
does.
Mary. Hi.
Hey, Mary.
Williams, get that package.
Papa.
I've been called that in a while.
Come on now. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great, Cheryl. Glad to see. Glad to. Coot always brings in some surprise guests, so we're glad to see.
Well, I can't take credit for that one. That's Alicia all the way.
100%. Oh well, Alicia, Cheryl, Judy, Alicia. Mary, we're just.
Well, you know what you can call that, and I excuse me. I track this as a coach. That's right.
The only thing is, I never used to pass, so we don't have a problem with that.
See, Alicia, you keep saying that. We might have to do a DNA test because you got a lot of Miller in you when you start saying stuff like that. Because okay. Miller's we never passed.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. I did. Reggie didn't.
True that is. But hey, when you can knock it down like the two of you did, hey, you didn't need to pass. That's
I
all I'm saying.
That. I appreciate that.
Honey, I'm on a podcast.
Okay.
Love you.
Bye.
Aww.
Yeah, she couldn't fall asleep last night. She usually has my sleep patterns, which I could fall asleep with a train running through the living room. But yeah, but for some reason it was a 4 a.m. or last night, so I let her sleep in. So.
Hmm.
I'm waiting for a couple more, so let me just wait and see, and then now, I don't know if we can extend this, but Mr. Patrikoff said if it goes until 3 that he would be able to pop on.
Oh, that would be great.
So we could talk about some nonsense for 45 minutes and then get to the meat of the show. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever you guys got to do, if you can only stay 5 minutes, then that's great.
No, I'm good. If he can, if with all these people who are on, and then if he can get on, I'm good. That just makes it. That just really connects the dots.
Yeah, I'm waiting on another.
Well, we not good enough, Coach Liz.
Huh? No, I said with all these people. With all these people who are on, and if he comes on, that just makes it better. That's what I said, Mary.
I'm teasing you.
Hey, what's going on, Mary?
How you doing?
Tiffany!
Hi, everyone.
Everybody's looking fantastic. My goodness.
Just continue on. I'm trying to text a couple people to see what their time frames are.
Okay.
Like that new hairdo you're wearing there, Cheryl, honey.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
Oh, I can't even see yours, Hoop.
I know, because I ain't got... I am trying to show some love to Dawn today, though. I did reach out to Dawn, but she's practicing right now. But I told the SID, like, hey, come on, bring them all on for a quick hot minute. You know what I mean? So she hasn't responded yet, but I did at least get a response initially. So, but they are practicing. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. They're killing folks right now.
Good Lord.
A W is a W, but at least they're being tested along the way. So it's going to be
a lot of people are playing really tough schedules early.
They sure are.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
You're going to do it early.
What you're really all about.
Do it early. So
facts.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get those quadrant wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to a degree, just stick one or two in. If you get one in, I'm happy. I'm happy. And that's a win. I don't care if you win or lose, but at least whether it's on the road or at home, you got to get someone that is going to slug you in your mouth a couple times just to see how you respond, how you react.
And
she did have a couple of sucks. Somebody she beat 109. Who was at Mississippi Valley State? So I always throw them in the mix.
Yeah.
The blowouts and the tough, but she's played enough tough ones though.
Yes, she has. Yes, she
Notre
has.
Dame, Maryland, North Carolina. You know, that was pretty tough.
One of the things that my initial AD when I first started coaching said was you have to have thoughtful scheduling. Does that change now because of the portal? But because you have to schedule 2 years in advance at that level, right? So you're sort of stuck if you plan on having players and now you got a whole new team trying to build chemistry.
Yeah, but it is what it is, you know? I mean, you still have to play them. It's the same thing if your coach gets fired or your coach decides to move on to greener pastures. Same thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's true.
Well, I just don't think they thought extensively about this portal. I just don't think they did because
who could
the NCAA? I mean, golly, it's just like the port is just out of control. Now that's my opinion.
You think it is?
Oh yes, my goodness, really? I think so. Yeah.
In what respects?
The respect that you think you know, you got a kid can become disgruntled for whatever reason and just decide to just go. You know, you're hard on the kid because you're trying to get the best out of that kid. You know, having coached for 30 years. You know, I know that sometimes you have to push them and then you find out other things that's going on with them and you have to make sure that you tap into those different things. And then they may not be agreeable to it or may not accept it. Then the next thing you know, they're in the portal.
At least you know.
And then you got kids that are just transferring just for whatever. And they're being recruited throughout the portal. And it's just, to me, it wasn't thought clearly enough, in my opinion. So now to me, it's a little bit more out of control. Now, did I hear something about this is the last year for it? Did anybody hear that other than me?
No, was that wishful hearing?
Or next year? I hope it was. Next year? I think I heard something about it may have one or two more, one next year, maybe the last
year. There's no way you can't take that back. You can like fine tune it, but there's no way you can like go back on that. That's no.
Well, they started it because of COVID, as we well know, but hey.
Is that what they're saying? Is that what they're, okay.
I opened that door.
Well, regardless. Oh, and before we all get started and everything else, just so if I have to bounce early, it's only because I have my physical therapy. It'll be 2 weeks today, y'all. Knee replacement.
So, oh wow!
Last week was a year for me for my second one. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. So how soon? Wait. What was the time? The timeline between your first to your second?
Well, my first one is 11 years old. That was my left one.
Okay.
And then my right one, I had it done last year in November, and it takes about a full year before you can get, you know, feel like it's really, you know, has gotten completely
healed. Okay.
Yeah. So I wish you all the best in your recovery. That's wonderful.
So why did you wait so long between, or you didn't need to have the right one done as
No, soon. I needed to, but I waited because I was still teaching and coaching. And then I just decided that, hey, this is the time. I'm 65 now, so I might as well go ahead and get it done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was 11 years between the left one and the right one.
All right.
Glad I had it done, though.
We're talking replacement surgery today, ladies.
Cheryl was talking about belly. 3 months getting the other one done.
Yeah, that was wishful thinking. No, I'm. That's only because Annie Myers had just.
Yeah,
she just had her second.
Yeah, she just had her second one done. I didn't know she had it already. I knew she was going to prepare for it.
I know it was around this timeline. It was the fourth or the fifth, or.
Well, she's getting ready to have her second, her other one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was around this time, around this week.
Sometime. Yeah.
I do think people need to know about all this stuff because, you know, that's the challenge you all have for playing hard and going hard is the repercussions, and
yeah, we need
healthcare to cover that.
Well, we want to get with the Retired Players Association, which we're not affiliated with the WNBA when we couldn't have been because we were the first league. So, but our male counterparts are in the ABA. So that's the argument to embrace us. And all those old NBA players who suffered just like we are, older than us even, and they weren't under that umbrella either. So they went back and made that right.
Did they?
Yeah, they made it right. They gave them compensation. You know, a lot of them died off. It's sad, you know.
Oh, wow.
Didn't get the salaries. They played. They didn't get those salaries. So they went back to driving a cab or working or homeless or just really bad off. There's a lot of stories written about it. But they went back. The NBA went back and poured money into this fund, and they went back and compensated those early WNBA stars and ABA stars who weren't part of the NBA. I said WNBA, who weren't part of the NBA to begin with. We're making the argument we weren't part of the WNBA. We couldn't have been, but we were just like our male counterparts who were not part of the NBA. That's and so then argument. Through that, they give them medical services.
That's a strong argument.
So Cher, I had a friend that had her right one done in June, and I was at the hospital with her yesterday where she had her second one done.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she went, of course, you know, it's outpatient because you had yours done. It's outpatient. So, like, you know, they send you right home, believably. But with my first one, that 11 years ago, I stayed in the hospital for 3 days.
I see Taylor. Hi, Taylor.
You know, Taylor's down there like, this is what I got to look forward to when my WNBA career is over.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get away from the knees. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, Taylor?
I'm great. I'm just listening to all y'all.
Oh, Dan. Oh, my goodness. Who
we got a few more aches and pains we can talk about, too, Taylor.
You know what? I'm praying I don't have any, but it's part of
that's
the
what I'm talking about.
That's way down the line. You don't have to worry about that.
Good, I hope so.
You don't have to worry about that, you youngin.
No. Oh my
still God. In the 20s.
Exactly.
What's up, Coach Hughes?
We can hear
you, but we can't see you. Coach Hughes loves to come in and be incognito for a minute and then booyah.
Judy, we've talked about the portal. What are your thoughts on that portal, Judy? Having been at the helm,
I think college athletics is dramatically off the track, and I'm not sure how it's ever going to get back on. So I'm concerned about the future, and particularly how it's going to affect women's sports and the Olympic sports.
Yes. Wow.
It's a whole different experience than what most of us have
envisioned. Affect them in which way? Affect them in which way?
In a negative way. In a negative way. They're just not going to get the support, and some of the schools are going to be putting more money into a select number of sports, and that's going to mean that they're going to have to eliminate some sports, and potentially it's going to be the Olympic sports.
Never thought of that. I never thought of that.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Wow.
Was there ever any talk? I mean, was that, you know, we've been talking about athletes getting compensated for years. Did that ever come up with you guys as something you were foreseeing in the near future?
I don't think anybody anticipated the direction that things have been going. And there's no consistency right now. I don't know if Congress is actually going to step in. There are a lot of people that are lobbying Congress to take control. But be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
So, our Congress is a whole.
Can we wait till after 2024? I want to find out who our next president is going to be before we start.
Our Congress is another story.
Judy, you know your video's off. I just want to make sure you knew that. Coach Hughes, I don't know if you're in a time constraint. Oh, man, we got Cherie Sam in the house. She made it. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. I'm trying to get on my computer.
Oh, you're good. Cherie, what's happening? Coach Hughes, I know you guys are both up against time constraints. Let me just do a quick formal intro, and then it's not long, but I got to do it for Elizabeth because she loves when I say this one part. and then we'll let – and then Mary has about 15 minutes. She's got to go. Tiffany, so glad you could be here as well. And so many amazing people today joining us. There are a couple more that I may be able to. Yeah, we'll see. Okay. We're still on the phone. I think you have to hit end. Oh, you have to touch the screen, and then all the options. Okay. Will come up on the bottom.
Yeah, thanks, I'm Molly. Jumping around. Great to see you again. I'm out here at PGA West.
Oh, wow.
Office floor time, bouncing around between offices, trying to get some privacy.
Wait, you're doing stuff with golf?
I'm actually a real estate agent.
Oh, so that, well, I knew that part, but I thought you were doing...
Yeah, but I'm working on site here at PGA West today.
Oh, wow. That's so fun. So
I jumped in. Yeah, it's awesome. They're here meeting right now about the... they had the whole group here meeting about the next tournament that's coming up in January.
Oh, that's
with some
nice.
Kind of executive meeting. Yeah.
Are you a golfer?
I'm not. I wish, but no, I swing a golf club like I swing a softball bat.
There you go. I love it. All right, Molly. Have an amazing
swings every time.
Yes. Well, heck yeah.
Thanks so much for spreading our message, Michael. You've been amazing.
Oh, well, I just wish it would get out there more, you know, just like with Alicia's story, like those two things, if I get nothing else accomplished before I go back to coaching in 5.5 years, those are my two projects, you know, to really just help people understand the history of the game, the women's game, and get Alicia's story out there. Because what's happening with Alicia was happening anywhere, like even the lowest D1. When I tell you, you wouldn't believe what's going on there, you literally would not believe it. Because it would never have continued for a week, let alone 23 years, if it was at UConn for Coach Auriemma.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely mind-boggling what's happening over there with her. And I don't know how she stays with the job, to be honest with you. So, but we'll be having a podcast, the fifth one, about this story, and you know, there's other people that are involved, but nobody cares. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's not UConn. It's not Iowa. It's not South Carolina.
Right.
No one gives a shit. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately. But they're going to when they have to pay dearly, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So, all right. Happy New Year. Have a great holiday. Yeah.
You too. Keep spreading the word.
Okay.
Doing
thanks,
a great
Molly.
Job.
Appreciate
all right,
you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. You can go online also. And if you're interested in this shirt, for those of you watching on YouTube, you can purchase this shirt. It's around $32 or something like that. You can get it in orange, this color, or it's in gray. And they have a hoodie. They have long sleeves. So they have multiple options as well. We want to support women and the history of women's basketball in every sense of the word. So thanks again for joining us today, everybody. Much love. Talk soon. Peace. Thanks again for joining us today, everyone. Feel free to send me an email to thesportsdeli@gmail.com. Also, check out my link tree. It's /Mike Hootner. Also, like to thank a few people. 40 Tons Brand is a socially conscious cannabis brand, and they're doing amazing things. Check them out. We'd also like to thank Moolah Kicks, the first ever female brand basketball shoe in the history of the world. We'd also like to encourage you, if you're having a hard day and if you're feeling like you just don't want to live anymore, all you have to do is dial 988 from any phone. And there will be someone there 24/7, 365. So don't feel like you have to fight this battle alone. Don't forget to do your self-breast and self-testicular exams every month. It's really important, as early detection is the key. Remember, Black Lives Matter. Reach out to your local and state politicians for any individual or group that you feel are being marginalized. Stop the bullying. Stop the Asian hate. Let's end gun violence with common sense laws. Let's be allies for the LGBTQIA+ community. And I challenge those of you in the white space to be anti-racist, to be bridges and vessels, to help bridge the gaps between Black and white America. And remember, until next time, it takes a village, everyone. Much love.